You're listening to The Court Report with Princeton women's basketball head coach Courtney Banghart.
Welcome to another episode of The Court Report. Jerry Price joined by Princeton University head women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. And coach, welcome.
So glad to be back.
So only one game since we spoke last. It was the game over the weekend at Davidson, and it was Thanksgiving Day. So you had some Thanksgiving fun with the team, and talk a little bit about being on the road with your team during a holiday like that.
Yeah, you know, it's never easy to be away from your family, kids included. And so we flew out on Thanksgiving Day, which is actually a good day to travel, as luck would have it. And Megan, our director of ops, surprised us after dinner that night with, she had reached out to all the parents and asked for baby pictures of each Tiger, including our coaching staff and our sports information director and trainer and everybody else. And we played a version of Name the Tiger. And as it turns out, I am really horrible at identifying baby pictures with current Tigers. And then the very end of the night, she had a message. Each family had sent in a video message wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And it was really memorable and a real example of my director of ops going way above and beyond to make us feel loved and supported on a special holiday.
And talk about the game itself. And another double-double for Bella Allery. And,
and
it's a game you figured to win and you won.
Yeah, you know, that's a different mindset for us. You're right. You know, for the first game on so far of our season, on paper, we were probably the better team. And as a different mentality, our kids have to get used to that now. But it was a really big game by Bella. She impacted the game on both ends. And, of course, our young guys also, with Abby getting Rookie of the Week, you know, she came in and gave us a huge spark. And, it was a gritty road win. Thrilled to get it.
And what about the idea of, we talked about this last week about where your team was as the season goes along at this stage of the game. Like, do you find yourself ever comparing where your team is now to years past, or is there no value in just one year is completely different than another?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's really staying present with the current team is probably the most reasonable way to go about it. We said after the game, though, I didn't think we played as sharp as we needed to on either end. And so we talked about how in the preseason, we want to be less focused on wins and losses and more focused on our foundation. And, of course, if you can win along the way, it's great. But I think yesterday was a good bounce back day for us on the court. And I think we're building a really good foundation with a very good team.
So I was at the men's game on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
They were up by, I don't know if you saw this, they were up by 27. And FDU came back and I think got it within three at one point and then won the game. And Princeton won the game. And I sort of got the sense from Mitch after the game, the men's coach, Mitch Henderson, that he was okay with it because of the value, the learning value, the teaching value that you get from that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such an awesome opportunity to learn each game. And if they're all the same, you learn the same lesson over and over again. And so for us, we were up 14-2. They went on a run, and we gave up way too many in the second and third, kind of carelessly, and had to gut it out in the fourth and make plays. Whereas against Georgia Tech, we were playing from behind. So we've had different lessons each game, and that's what you want to get yourself seasoned.
So as I'm watching, so I was sitting, the last seat on the end of the scores table, and I'm watching Mitch, and, it was 23-6 at one point. It's just one of those blowout games the whole way. And then all of a sudden, the entire game changed on a dime, and Fairleigh Dickinson couldn't miss. And it was one of those things where you never really got the sense that they were going to get close enough to pull it out. But then they did make it a one-possession game, I think, at one point. What goes through your mind when you're coaching a situation like that? Because Mitch was standing there kind of stoically watching what was going on. At some point, are you, just dying inside? Or are you, thinking to yourself, they just don't have enough time to come back on it. What goes through your mind as the game is unfolding?
When you start off strong and you have that big lead, it's actually not probably your dream, because then anytime you, it gets a little bit hard, it's like, uh-oh, because everything was so easy to begin. So you'd almost rather start a little bit more consistently and steadily and build as the game goes on versus coming out so strong at the front because everything else is not quite what it was. So I think it depends on the game, what you're thinking about. To be truth be told, sometimes you're like, come on, clock, keep moving. And other times you're like, is this a joke? And maybe other times you're like, gosh, it's a good team that's got a real chance here. So it depends on the opponent, but it's never pretty.
So basketball coaching is kind of, it's possession by possession. Coaches can, and they do, I think it's overcoached on some levels that, it's just each possession, offensively and defensively, coaches are just constantly saying what to do. Whereas if you contrast that with a sport like soccer, where there's very little of that, there's next to none of that. And if you take a sport like football, where, each play is its own thing that is so regimented. And then you have other sports that, maybe like hockey or lacrosse, where there's elements of it, but it's a little different. From your point of view, as a game starts to go along, do you, what goes through your mind? Like, are you thinking to yourself, I need to stay focused on top of every single possession that they're doing? Or do you think to myself, like, you know, for instance, there's times where you sense a coach is about to call timeout.
Yep.
And you don't always do that. Like, mm-hmm. is there a sense of let them play through it? Or is there a sense of I have to jump on this right now to stop the momentum? What's the approach? Like, what goes through your mind as the game is going along?
You know, I think what makes basketball a tiny bit different, or maybe a lot bit different than a lot of other sports, is it's one of the few sports where you play both ends equally, right? And so you might be an attacker in soccer or hockey or lacrosse where you play some defense depending on the change of possession, but your primary goal is to be the offensive player or defensive player or midfielder. Basketball, you're really playing both ends equally throughout the game. And so there's that fluid element that you have to sort of understand the ebbs and flows and know your team and know that if you call timeout, is that going to disrupt yourself? Is that going to disrupt the other team? And obviously your goal is to disrupt the other team more so than yourself. So I think that's the beauty of it is you got to, the sooner you can figure out your own team, you have to go. I go by gut and feel more than I do by statistics in terms of the ebb and flow of a game. Statistics I look at really closely, but as the game moves on, I'm more watching the nuances of the game and the body language and the flow, mostly.
Are you calm?
I'm probably remarkably calm. It's our sports information director always says he needs me to have a different pose during the game. You know, I kind of have that professorial look, perhaps. I'm a very different person in practice. I think on the practice floor is what I'm doing the bulk of my teaching, the bulk of my cheerleading, the bulk of my sort of coaching in that way. Maybe getting positive and negative all at the same time. But in the game, I'm trying to kind of play a chess match and understand how they're defending us and how we can attack, and that takes a lot of mental energy. So I think I'm more thinking through the game on practice, and I'm coaching more during, I mean, in the game, and I'm coaching more during practice.
And then go back to when you first started, because, you know, you didn't have a ton of experience. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you found yourself as a head coach. Are you, like, what's the number one thing that you if you were to say to yourself 10 years ago, yeah. or to, you know, a young head, like, you know, Chessy at TCNJ, who's yeah. a head coach for the first time or something, what would be the number one thing that you would say?
Gosh, that's a great question. I think when I got here, I really invested in the people and tried to ensure that they individually were getting better, and that served me well. I've done that sort of every year here. I've focused more on the individual growth of our people, and as a result, our team has grown. But I think I have a much better understanding of the game now by having coached it, having to make hard decisions, having to watch a ton of film. I've learned from other coaches. And so I think I'm a better game coach. And therefore a better practice coach than I was. But I think I've always been people-centered, and that's been successful.
So we asked people if they want to send in questions to do so, and we got one.
Okay, let's hear it.
And this comes from James Riccobono, who had a nice note about how much he enjoys the court report each
week.
Well,
I know he probably enjoys you, but I'm trying to keep up with you, Jerry.
Okay. So basically his question was about, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I mean, I can read the whole thing, but he's basically saying that the 30-0 team featured many fine players, and one of them was Alex Wheatley, who was a real low post presence, and yeah. that maybe your team now doesn't have the same kind of low post presence. What challenge does that present to you, especially since a team knows that you don't have that low post presence, and now they can try to play out a little bit more, you know, on the wings and the guards, and like, you know, actually the very ironic thing about that is that you don't really consider her a low post presence, but if you wanted to turn her into a low post presence.
We're working on it. I know what you're getting at. My girl, Bella Ellery. Yeah, we're working on it. Yeah, you know, the reason why you like a low post game is because it gives you more shots closer to the basket, which arguably give you a higher percentage look. The other way to look at it is that low post players can slow you down. Low post players can clog the paint, take away driving lanes from your wings and your guards. So we're actually playing a more, because of our low post game, we're actually playing more of a spread offense, and we're allowing our attackers to get in off the dribble, and we're getting our shooters create more space for themselves, and we're getting low post touches throughout the spread play, sometimes with our bigger guards as well as our inside game. So it is a different team. You know, Wheatley was critical on both ends. I mean, she was such an important defender for us as well, but we're a different team now, and I think there's parts of us that are even better, and there's parts of us that aren't as good, but I think this team is good where it is.
So tomorrow night, a doubleheader at tonight, a doubleheader at Princeton. Wednesday night, tonight, a doubleheader. It's the women's game is 5:30 against Villanova, and the men's game is at 8:00 against Lehigh. And those should be two good games.
Absolutely.
And you know, just talk a little bit about Villanova, and you know, they appeared this week in the national rankings.
Yeah, you know, it's a top 25 team in Jedwin, and it's a really good team that has annually goes to the tournament. They play a very set system. They've got three senior starters that have started almost every game, played almost every minute since they've been there. They really try to control tempo. They want a low-scoring game. They're going to try to spread us out as well. It's just when you get a chance to play a top 25 team at home, you know, right after on the heels of playing Georgia Tech at home, it's just an exciting time for Princeton basketball. And then, of course, you just kind of go get a snack or stretch your legs and get to see our men play. So it's one of those kind of throughout the year you get lucky when two we both get a home game on the same day. And I think it's certainly worth the trip in for sure.
So, you know, this isn't really about the game tonight, but the doubleheader. You know, in the Ivy League season, there are very few doubleheaders because you have the women are home, the men are away against the same team. But last year, really for the first time that I could remember, because of the academic calendar, there were doubleheaders.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people love them.
Yeah.
Has there been any talk about maybe trying to do that? But then, and then the flip side of that would be, you know, I wouldn't want to say, and I know you wouldn't want to say that the women always play first and the men play second, but...
Yeah, no, I like actually playing first, gets it out of the way, and then I can sit back and watch our men and enjoy it. So, no, I'd actually prefer to play first. It's also an earlier night for a quick turnaround the next night. But I think for... we love it. You know, here at Princeton, we're really close with our men's team, a great respect for their coaching staff, and I know our players really enjoy the men's presence. So we really love it. I think the fans, we share a lot of fans, which is a testament to the Princeton basketball. You know, there's a lot of smart basketball fans in this community, and they like both teams because we're different and we're both pretty good. And so I think it's great. I think it's easier on our administration because they get a couple weekends off, that means. I don't make those decisions. So we've talked about how much we enjoy it, and the league makes decisions that they think are best for the league, and I stay out of that.
A game coming up on Saturday as well. I believe that's a 2:00 start.
It's actually a 5:00 start.
Okay, it's a good thing I said that.
That's right. Now you can be here at 2:00, but you'll miss.
I have to do the PA for that game.
Oh, good. You guys, it's definitely worth the trip. Jerry's got this kind of radio voice that moves well in the gym. So are you singing the anthem too?
I could actually. It's a good thing I said that because I thought the game was at 2:00. That's Delaware, correct?
It's Delaware, and you get, I think the first X number of fans get ugly Christmas sweater socks.
Socks, yeah.
So I'm going to get there a little early.
And what does Delaware bring?
I mean,
they don't bring Elena Delladonna anymore.
They don't bring Delladonna, thank God. They bring a double-double threat, you know, a kid who's actually played at the same club as Bella.
Have you looked at Delaware's record book ever to see what she did to it?
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I don't need to because I saw it in our gym and I saw it at their place.
That was one of the great – I mean, I know we lost that game, but that was one of the great nights.
It was great. I'm glad you brought it up because we had Naveen. They had Delladonna. There were probably 3,000 fans here.
I likened it to, like, what it must have been like when Bill Bradley was playing for the men's team here.
For sure. I think especially given that she's local. And anytime you can get two good local teams, we play Rutgers, we have them remaining in our schedule still, and same idea. You get two really good teams that are local, you get double the fan base, and yeah, Deladon's a special player. It was fun to play her. Luckily, she will not be suiting up.
So what is Delaware doing?
You know, they've got really athletic post players. You know, they've got a dominant double-double threat that we're going to have to manage. But we're going to take it. I'm going to keep that a secret until we're going to take it one game at a time and deal with Villanova first.
So I mean, coaches always say that. I assume it's...
I think coaches that aren't as dumb as me, I can't focus on two opponents that well, you know, especially with the... Once we get to the Ivy season, I have to because of the back-to-back play, but right now I don't. And so I'm at the ebb and flow I have to deal with is how much prep do I have for Villanova versus what growth steps we need to be a better team. And I can't throw two opponents as well as our own selves into one day too much.
So before the game tonight, yesterday was TAG, Tiger Athletics Give Day.
Yeah, it's
and
cool.
It's always a big thing for Princeton Athletics. And, I mean, you know, people give a lot, and they do a lot to support the program. And the people who are listening to the podcast are the people who are closest to your program.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just important to know how appreciated they are and
no
what a big
doubt.
Part of things they are.
It's one of the things I think that makes Princeton really special is that your time here isn't 4 years, and your time here isn't because you went here. I didn't go to Princeton, as you know, Jerry, and I feel very much connected to this community because I'm so warmly welcomed and I'm so supported by our donors. And what's great is that it's not just the donors that have, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to give annually. It's the donors who have $50 to give. And it's one of those things that strengthen numbers. It shows you care, and you took the time to choose us. And I'm blown away and literally speechless and humbled annually at the generosity.
An appreciation for everybody who gave yesterday on Tiger Athletics Give Day. And so again, a reminder, so the game tonight is a doubleheader. It's Villanova women. That's 25th ranked Villanova coming to Jadwin Gym. That's a 5:30 tip-off here tonight in Jadwin. And then the men's game is 8:00 against Lehigh. Lehigh is one of the best teams in the Patriot League.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Saturday at 5:00, not at 2:00, but at 5:00, you have the women's team against Delaware here.
Those are the last two, I think, home games until after Christmas for the women.
And then a couple of games on the road after that, and we'll talk about those next week on the next episode of the Court Report. But Courtney, thanks for taking the time to be with us here today.
Thanks for everything, Jerry, as always.
And again, once again, thanks to everybody for their support, not just on TAG, but all year round in support of Princeton Women's Athletics, and especially the Princeton Women's Basketball team. And tonight, 5:30 against Villanova. Thanks for being here.